Hey friends, thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you to grow and to learn. Joining me today are Christina and Clara.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi ladies, it's so wonderful to have you with us. This is their first time to be with us. And we also have everybody's favorite Josh over
here. Well, hello. Thanks for the introduction this week.
You're very welcome. I ignored him last time, so they know you're in the room.
Yes.
Well, we are going to be discussing a very, very wonderful subject to me. It's near and dear to all of us, and it's the glory of God.
Ooh, very good.
Very good. And we are going to really we're going to have a lot of scripture, and we hope that you will all get your Bibles out and join us and study along with us.
So the glory in the New Testament means doxa, which means brightness, honor, magnificent, praise, worship, and judgment. If we go back to the law of first mention in the Old Testament, it means kavod, which is splendor, honor, weighty with everything good. So we go to Psalms 22. It says that God inhabits our praises. Inhabit here means that God sits enthroned in the praises. That's why we see and feel his presence more during the worship. It is a weight of the presence with everything good.
Yes, it is. And you know, it's very important that we enter into praise and worship because we want him to inhabit those. We want to have that closeness with him.
Amen. Okay, we're going to start in Exodus. There are many references to the glory of God in this book of Exodus. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. We're going to start with Exodus 24, 15 through 18. And this is when Moses ascends to Mount Sinai. Verse 15. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Can you just get that picture?
Wow.
Of Moses? You know, he was so brave.
Yes.
And he was so obedient, but he had seen so many miracles that God had done. So he did exactly what God told him to do.
Obedience is very important in our walk with Christ, because with Moses, if he had not have done what he was told in the beginning, the Israelites would have never been, he would not have been the one to lead them out. You know, we know God did it, but he used Moses. But if Moses had not been willing, then he would have had to pick somebody else.
You know, the fire goes back here to the brightness of his glory.
Yes, that's true.
Well, let's look at Exodus 29, 43 through 46. Verse 43 says, "And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests." Verse 45, "I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord, their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God."
Yes. You know, in verse 44 here, where it says, "I will also consecrate both Aaron and the sons to yes. minister to the priests," we can look in Malachi 3:3, and it says, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness." So that is a judgment that purifies. That, again, that goes back to what the glory, one of the words for the glory means. It means a judgment. But we can see here, this is a purifying judgment.
Right.
There's two different judgments. You have the good judgment, where we want to be purged so we can be made gold, or we have the bad judgment that we do not want to be in, where we will not, that God will not use, that He will take away.
You know, it's fascinating. These things are fascinating because I say, Lord, make me an instrument of praise and worship. I pray that. And that's what He's doing right here. He's making them instruments. That's why He had to purify them to be priests. You know, that's,
absolutely.
We still need to ask and pray for that.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go on to Exodus 40, verses 34 through 38. This is the cloud and the glory. We talked about the fire. Well, God showed His glory also in the cloud. So verse 34, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys.
And they were obedient to that. They did not say, well, He probably didn't mean that today. They were obedient to do exactly what they were, what the Lord's told them to do. And that's what we have to be.
And how awesome that God would guide them every single day at night and during the day. You know, the glory of God was there in all those years where He led them through the wilderness. And the tabernacle there, it's like in Ephesians 2:22. It says, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We are the tabernacle of God, and we are built together for that habitation so that God's glory will reside in us, just like it did there on Mount Sinai and with the children of Israel. So we are the church. We are the habitation of God through the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's good. And we need to, everything that we are reading and discussing, we need to apply. And I want to see the glory of God. I want to physically see it. I'm, you know, open my spiritual eyes and ears. And I know you guys do too. It's exciting. This is good stuff.
So we do experience the glory of God.
Yes.
And really, it's the physical display of the nature, the holiness, and the character of God Himself. We can feel it, can't we?
Yes.
We can enter into it. We can know the presence of God. And it is beyond words. Really, when God's glory comes down, there's nothing that can really describe it. So in Leviticus, the priests began their ministry. Leviticus 9, verses 5 through 7. Verse 5, so they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. Wow, what expectation,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yes.
Verse 7, and Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar. We're told that all the time, aren't we, in church? Go to the altar.
Yes.
Offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Wow. Lots of instructions
there.
Yes.
And then very detailed.
Yes. Perfectly. We're going to go on down to Leviticus 9 and verse 22 through 24. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Verse 24. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Mm. I can just see that, you know, that fire, that glory of God coming down and consuming the offering. It was such a sign, such a immediate display of the glory of God right then and there. And the people, and I loved it, and they say, they shouted and they fell on their faces.
Praise
when
God.
God's glory comes down, you can't stand, right?
That's right.
You're either kneeling or you're falling on your face.
That's right. That's right. You don't have in this body, we do not have the power to stand in the presence of the glory of God.
Amen. Okay, we're going to move on to 1 Kings chapter 8. Verses 10 through 12. Now, this is when the ark was brought into the temple. And this is part of Solomon's speech. And this is one of my favorite scriptures of the whole Bible, when Solomon glorified God and his speech was to all about, you know, worshiping the Lord. So 1 Kings 8, 10 through 12. And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord.
Wow. Can you imagine?
No, I cannot. You talk about worshiping. You know, would worship. How long would you worship God when if you saw that and you were a part of that and ministering because of the cloud for the glory of God? It's beautiful.
You know, I thought about that earlier when you know, Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. It did not say he packed a picnic lunch.
Nope.
It didn't say that he took a suitcase. He went up there, and he was in the glory of God, and his physical body was—he was taken care of. He was provided for every need that he had. And, boy, if we would just get in that one mind and one accord with the Father, we would certainly need much less worldly things in our life.
Yes, and you know, the cloud was there for a whole week over Mount Sinai, a whole week before Moses ascended into the mountain. So he was ready.
And he came out with white hair.
Yeah, and a tablet.
Yes, the first iPad.
Yes, written by the finger of God.
That's right.
Isaiah 6, 1 through 5. Isaiah is called to be a prophet. Verse 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Wow.
The whole earth is full of his glory.
He's everywhere. We have to remember that. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's everywhere.
So in 2 Chronicles 5:14, 11 through 14, and it come to pass, when the priests came out of the most holy place, with all the priests who were present, and sanctified themselves without keeping to their division, and the Levites, who were singers, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east of the altar, clothed with white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Right here, the Hebrew says, Ki tov ki le'olam hasto, which means for he is good and his mercy endures forever. The word mercy here is the hesed or the covenant. His covenant of love endures forever. It goes on by saying that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God.
Can you imagine? I mean, can you just imagine not just seeing the cloud, but feeling the presence, feeling the power of the Lord in that moment? I don't know how they got anything done. I don't know how you did anything but just stared at the cloud and just stayed right there.
Stand in awe.
Yes. Honestly, I would be that one. They're like, listen, you have a job to do and you need to get on with it because you're you know, piddling around over here and we got stuff to do. But how that's where I'd want to be. I just want to be close as I could get. Isn't that crazy? I love it.
So absolutely. That's my question. How can we see or experience the glory of God today in our own personal lives? Well, there's many ways we can do that. We can experience it individually in our own worship, in our own communion with God, and through encounters with other people. I think the glory of God comes down most of the times when I see it, when we are together as a church in worship, and we just forget about everything else around us and expect the glory of God to come down. I read just a little testimony. One man was talking about the glory of God, and he said he had knelt down on his knees to pray, and the glory of God came down, and he could not get up.
Right.
And so it's like the scripture came to him that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess,
Amen.
You know, because his knee had to bow. And I know in my own body, it's the power through my hands. When you raise your hands to worship, and sometimes you can just become a statue because you are so full and so surrounded by God's glory.
Right.
And that's where you want to stay.
You want your mind stayed upon the Lord.
As long as we can.
Yes. Yes. That's when fasting and all these other elements come into play. And that's kind of hard for me because I like food a whole bunch. But we don't just have to fast food. Fast food. We don't have to just fast our food. We could fast television. We can, you know, there's anything that we love and that we give a lot of our time to.
Could we go as far as idolize?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything we idolize, we can give that up for, you know, whatever time that you set with the Lord. Maybe the Lord, he will tell you, look, I want you to not watch television or whatever your idol is, play on the iPad or whatever. And just give me your time and your attention. Get in the Word. Get alone with me. And listen, you're going to feel the glory. You can't help but. Because when you give Him time and you work on that relationship.
He's there.
Yes, He's amen.
There. He wants unity with Him.
Yes, yes. And when we come in, as you were saying a while ago, I didn't want to interrupt you, but we have to come. You remember when the disciples were in the upper room? The word says they were in one mind and one accord. And that is what we have to be when we're in praise and worship. Instead of worrying about, oh, well, it's dinner. I got to get home and get dinner. And did I turn the crock pot down? And did I? Forget about it. And just give all your time and attention to Him.
Well, right here in Chronicles, what I just read, it said 120 priests came to blow the trumpets.
Yes.
It was 120 in the upper room. When the priests blew the trumpets, they were in one accord, one mind.
Yes.
That's when the glory come. When they were in the upper room, there was 120 who come in unity with one mind, one accord, and that's when the glory came, and that's when the Holy Spirit came and filled the room, filled the temple, filled who the temple is, which is at us.
Us.
We we are the temple
our
of
body,
God.
Our body. Amen. That's good.
Yes. And I'll say this. You can stand back and you can let the glory of God be in everyone else.
Yes.
And you can refrain from that.
Right.
But when you see, that's the beauty about also being with God's people. Mm-hmm. It's like a domino effect.
Right.
When one person gets feeling that power and that glory of God, then we all want it.
That's
we want more of
and
it.
And you can feel it. You can feel it.
Physically.
Yes, physically. And you know, if we would just join together. Like I said, block everything out. You know, who cares if a baby's crying? Who cares if somebody's coughing? Who cares? You know, and we tend to concentrate on those things. You know, well, why don't they go out of the room? Why don't – it shouldn't matter. We should be so in tune and so just enveloped in the worship that we're in. Nothing else should matter to us.
And it's undeniable. When you have the glory of God and you're experiencing that, it is hard to explain.
Yes.
Because it's supernatural.
Yes.
It's not something that's just physical, but it's an undeniable presence. And it's God manifests his presence and his power to us.
Yes.
It is to us.
He gives us gifts. He gives us wonderful gifts.
Yes.
Because he's a wonderful Father. And he blesses us mightily with these gifts. And, you know, the glory of the Lord is in those. Praise God. I'm getting excited.
Amen. Oh, yeah, it's good. It's been a really good study.
Yes.
God still displays his glory in the heavens and the earth through his creation.
Yes.
Coming into the church tonight, out in the sky, there was beautiful colors. How many times we say, oh, the sunset's beautiful. Take pictures of it and put it on Facebook.
Right.
Oh, what a beautiful sunrise. Look at the clouds.
Yes.
Yeah, so God displays his glory in the heavens and the earth. And in Psalms 19:1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. But see, we can approach and have access to the very presence of God.
Yes.
As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us.
Mm-hmm.
And this holy presence never leaves.
Never.
It never leaves. It's always there.
Right.
So an artist's artwork is actually called the glory. And God created the heavens and the earth to proclaim his glory.
Praise God.
We can look at that everywhere where we look. It's right. God's glory proclaimed in the sky.
Well,
is
listen,
what you was talking about and all that.
He created it to his liking.
Right.
When we see those things, those are the things that he likes and he gave and he blessed us with. That's beautiful.
Amen.
I like that. I like that about the artist. That's wonderful.
Okay, let's go to the New Testament now. Let's see how the glory of God is revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this is a beautiful scripture. And the disciples did behold, they witnessed, they saw, they observed, they saw firsthand the glory of God in the flesh, Jesus, who came and dwelt among us. It is just, we can't comprehend it, but
no.
The Bible is true. And this is exactly what Jesus came, and they beheld his glory.
You know, John 8:12 says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We can look at the light, the brightness of his glory.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Thank you.
You know, that is something that's very near and dear to me, and I know it is to you ladies, is my relationship with him. And that is exactly what you guys are reading, the scriptures. All I can think about as you're reading is the relationship that they had with God, because they gave their time, their attention, their motivation. Everything was about serving God, doing his will, being in obedience to him. You know, and I just pray, Lord, don't let me get so caught up in myself that I forget that I'm here to do what you've called me to do. I'm here to be a disciple.
Yes. And in John 2:11, let's go ahead and read this one.
Okay.
This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested the glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now, this was at the marriage. This was his first miracle, and Jesus turned the water into wine. And it was manifested because they saw on display, or they were shown by the act or the appearance that Jesus did, and he demonstrated in it. He demonstrated the evidence or the very proof of the glory of God when he did that first miracle.
You know, this reminds me of the manifestation of the glory that was at Azusa Street Revival.
Oh,
they
yeah.
said the glory was so thick, the cloud was so thick, that the children used to play hide-and-go-seek in the cloud.
Oh, my goodness.
How amazing
wow,
is that?
Wow, that's amazing.
Can you imagine?
No.
The playing hide-and-go-seek as a little kid under the pews with the glory falling and, or where's my kid?
Oh, yeah, right. Where'd they get off to now? I wanted to touch on something real quick that you read on John 2:11. You know, the wedding in Cana where he turned the water into wine. Not everybody saw that. Not everybody saw that miracle, just those that were in that room. And can you imagine just not jumping up and down and telling every single person? And he was like, "Don't, you know, let's keep this under wraps, guys." But I would be hard-pressed to be like, can I talk to your mom about it? Can I, you know, I mean, think about that. You have to keep that confidence, but you know such you just witnessed a miracle. Because you had empty wine vats, and now they're full of the most delicious, tasty. I guarantee it's the best wine ever created on earth is what they had at that
wedding.
That's
what the bridegroom said.
Yes.
You saved the best of the last.
That's right.
Right. And what they didn't want to do there is they did not want to – Jesus did not want to – Jesus did not want to –
upstage the wedding, or
no? He did not want to. He did not want to reveal himself at that time. It was not. Remember, he said to his mother, "It is not yet my time."
Right,
and she said, "Fill it up anyway."
Right. Jesus took the lower seat. He humbled himself so they could have the praise.
Right. So, which is why he wanted them. You've seen this. You've seen what's happened. But let's just. That's what I was saying a while ago. Just keep it under wraps because that would be hard for me. I'd be like, I want to shout it from the rooftops. I know that you performed a miracle. You know, that would be hard for me.
Well, and Mary told them, do what he says.
Yes, whatever my
son
says.
She knew he had something going here.
Exactly.
And the scripture also tells us right there that the disciples believed in him.
Right.
Miracles cause people to have faith and believe. So that was the glory manifested when Jesus did that miracle.
You know, I often think of, you know, from 12 to 30, we didn't hear a lot about him. Mary could have seen him many things. He could have performed many little miracles that his mom and his dad and, you know, his earthly dad and his family saw.
It's true.
You know, and... So, but she knew because she said, go in here and fill these.
Do what he said.
Yes, we need wine. We need, because it would have been embarrassing to the hosts that they ran out of wine for the wedding. Then that's a symbol. Don't let your lamps go out, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Jesus promises to return. The king is coming back to earth. Matthew 24:30 tells us. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Yes. We're expecting that any time, aren't we?
Yes.
The glory, to see the glory of the Lord face to face, nothing that's hidden, all revealed and out in the open to us.
Amen.
The great glory of God and the power that he's coming back with.
We go from glory to glory now, but when he comes and takes us, we will be in the ultimate glory.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we'll just stand around with our mouth open, just staring. I mean, really, I cannot even imagine what we're going to see. I'm excited. I mean, the Word tells us about it, but to get a mental picture, you know.
It's going to be glorious.
It is. Yes, ma'am.
Luke 2:9. This is Christ is born of Mary, of course, and this is just the one scripture in the Christmas plays and the scriptures we read every Christmas, the glory of the Lord. But, you know, when the shepherds were out in the field, Luke 2:9 says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid."
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they had never seen the light, and this glory, never, ever imagined that this would happen to them. And when that glory came down, shone around them, it was like the children of Israel. They fell down on their faces, right?
Oh, absolutely.
These shepherds were greatly afraid.
So Luke 9:28 through 32 goes right along, Clara, with what you're saying in Luke 2:9. It says, "And it come to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his death, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him."
Wow, can you imagine?
Pretty good stuff, huh?
Yes.
Awesome.
I mean, you know, when you think about that, you know, Moses and Elijah, wow. I'm just saying, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-blowing, really. I mean, wow.
Yeah, his face, that became white and glistening.
Yes.
And they were, the disciples, you know, in verse 32, they were so sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, when this happened, they woke up with a start, you know. They saw his glory. Oh, my goodness.
They said, what is that light?
Yeah. Are we dreaming?
Mm-hmm.
Went from dark to night.
Yes. Well, then
dark to light.
There you go, yeah. If we go into Acts 7:54 through 56, you know, talking about Stephen the martyr, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." You know, could Stephen, you know, seen the fire of judgment?
I believe he definitely could have.
Yeah. I mean, that's deep. that's a different subject,
right, really.
But
God wasn't seen at that point. He wasn't sitting anymore. He stood up. And Stephen seen him standing up. And like I was saying a while ago, there's two kinds of judgment. There's a purifying judgment for the saints.
Right.
But those that was martyring Stephen here, that was a different kind of a judgment.
Right.
I believe that when Stephen saw God standing up,
right,
that was an ultimate judge to them.
Yes,
I
believe that too.
His disciple.
Yes.
Well, you know, Stephen preached a powerful sermon of conviction and truth here to these people, and they hated it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to hear it.
Mm-mm.
They got rid of him. They took the stone. They killed him, you know.
Yes.
But even as he was dying, he said, "Lord, don't lay this to their charge."
You know,
that has to be the grace of God.
Oh, my goodness. The only thing.
That's exactly what Jesus said when they was killing him.
Father, forgive them.
They know not what they do.
Yes.
Well, we cannot fully comprehend the glory of God.
No.
We are human beings.
In heaven,
we will understand, and we'll be surrounded by the glory of God and understand the wonder of it all. But for now, we can enter to his glory by praising and worshiping him. His glory is there. We just need to receive it and desire the glory of God to come down. And he always will.
Yes. That's true.
We're going to go to Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 11, the New Jerusalem. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal.
You know, I love that part, Claire, where he says, "Come, I will show you the bride." Listen, he's always there.
Yes.
Yeah. Praise
yes.
God. That's exciting.
Yes.
We are the bride of Christ, and he saw us in
yeah,
the
and
future.
We was clothed
yes.
with the glory.
Amen.
You know, in Genesis, where it talks about Adam was no longer clothed.
Right.
He was stripped of the glory.
Yes.
But here, the bride gets the
glory
back.
Praise God. That's
yes.
good.
That's us.
Yes.
Yes.
That made me excited right there.
Oh,
right?
It is. It's very exciting. The Saint, John the Revelator saw marvelous things.
Oh, he did.
Revelation is such a gift to us.
Yes,
and
is.
There again, it's talking about the light. You know, it's all about the light, the glory. This is just everywhere in this Revelation.
Right.
Okay, Revelation 21, 22 through 27, the glory of the New Jerusalem. Verse 22, and this is still St. John, his writings. But I saw no temple in it. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple.
Amen.
23, the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Wow.
It's so important, people. He's coming back so soon. And, you know, we've got to get out there and get people saved.
There's nothing, it says, nothing that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. There's so much in the world today.
Yes.
So much lying, so much hatred, you know, so much violence, but not going to be in heaven.
No.
Isn't that going to be something to
That's
look forward
right.
to?
Oh, we're absolutely.
We're going to be taken back to the Eden
yeah.
when
the
everything was pure in yes. the Garden of Eden.
Yes. Fresh and new. Fresh
yes.
and new. I always think of that.
Isaiah 60:19. God, the glory of his people. Verse 19, the sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light and your God, your glory. Wow.
That's beautiful. That's exciting to think about. The moon, the stars, the sun, we don't need any of that anymore.
Nope.
We will be in his presence. And his glory will clothe us. That's so good. Ladies, it has been an honor to have you both here with me today. We have just scratched the surface on the glory of God.
Yes.
There's no way that we could get that all in one podcast, you know. But I pray that those out there listening will at least be moved enough to study and to look into that
yes,
for themselves.
The glory is such a deep subject.
It is. It is.
You can go all day on the glory.
Oh, yeah.
It is so amazing.
Well, we've come to the end of our podcast. And Sister Claire, would you please
sure.
say our prayer?
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for you and for all that you are to us. Thankful for the Word of God that gives us hope and peace and instruction and lifts up the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that your people will become more like you as we live on this earth, but as we look forward to the new heaven and the new earth and being with you in the glory that we know we will share for eternity. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your people and for the peace of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You know, in summary of what we've discussed today, it's unfathomable. Unfathomable. I didn't say that word right. It's unfathomable to even try to wrap your mind around the whole glory of God, because there's no way you could do it. There's no way. There's many instances where he's revealed it to us. But boy, one day, you guys, we're going to be clothed in it, and I cannot wait. I'm so excited. I know you will all be there with me, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if yours isn't, come on, we will get you. We'll pray you through it. We'll work with you and get you saved, because we want everybody to be there with us. Well, thank you for joining us today. If you haven't subscribed to the Messiah's Misfits podcast, make sure to do that so you don't miss an episode. Make sure to leave us a review so others can find our podcast. Thank you.